Hello, and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast with your hosts, Brent Aiken, David Pruitt, and Russell Martin. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, David Pruitt.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you and invite you over to our website, www.studentministryconversations.org, where you can find all of our previous episodes, show notes, blog articles, and much more. Our goal is that you are inspired, encouraged, and that the things that you hear on this podcast would equip you to be a better student pastor for the church that you are serving in. All right, let's get into it, buddy. So today you're sitting with my good friend Beto, who is the youth pastor at Calvary Baptist right here in Niter, Texas, which is why he is here with me as opposed to in a Zoom call somewhere else. And I'm just super honored to call you friend, man. More than just doing youth ministry together, we've gotten to hang out in the car and do all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So the exact same way. I feel the exact same. Plus, we're both Eagle fans, so
yes,
the connection is naturally there.
It's just Eagles fans in Texas have to stick together.
Yes.
Because there's more few and far between. Although I'm surprised to find so many Eagles fans in Snyder.
Yeah, they're starting to pop up.
It's popping up. Might be a bandwagon.
The bandwagon is rolling.
It's easy to be an Eagles fan right now.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
Man, so I'm 29 years old. I have a beautiful wife, two kids. One's two, one's 8 months. I don't know what we were thinking to have them that close. But I got into the ministry a little over, I think this is over 2 years now. Before that, I never even thought about being in the ministry. I wasn't saved until I was 22. I lived kind of definitely a worldly lifestyle, I guess you would say. I don't really know what I can't say, so.
Dude, you're fully open.
Okay.
All right. Short, brother.
I had a history of, growing up, I kind of just went down the wrong path. I knew of God. I knew God was real, but I didn't want a relationship with God. I think that's what I've learned, the best way to describe my situation. Because I didn't want to feel conviction for what I did. I was really big into partying, and all the things that come with it, really spiraled downhill due to drug addiction, and those multiple drugs. Anyways, my wife, who at the time was my girlfriend, gave me an ultimatum, and kind of, she hates that I use that word, by the way. If she hears this podcast, she's gonna crack up. But it is what it is. She gave me this and said, hey, I really want to be with you. I want to marry you. I want to be together, but we're either gonna have to go to church, and you have to put everything else has to be done. And, so I loved her more than anything else, so I was willing to try whatever she wanted, and we went to probably every single church in town, almost every single church in town, not all of them. Ended up at Calvary 1 week, and the rest is history. I got saved the week I went, and then I got baptized on my birthday. It was March 8, 2017, and I got baptized March 18th on my birthday, 2017, and just been rolling ever since, and man, I'm just grateful for the walk, and I'm grateful for God's grace for sure. And now here I am, a youth pastor for 2 years, and never would have thought that I'd be a youth pastor, much less serving teens.
It's incredible. So, man, I remember sitting down with you right as you were about to either take the position or you'd already taken it, and I remember thinking, man, like, God has done so much. Just hearing your story, like, it's incredible what God did in a really quick span of time. It may not have felt quick for you being, living,
yeah,
but man, it really, to think that 2017 you were here, and then, zoom out a few years and you're like a rock star youth pastor now. Like, it's been really cool. And when I say that, I'm not joking. Like, I don't know a whole lot of people whose first year was more successful, which has been really cool. So we'll get into what that looks like. So yeah. The biggest thing.
I appreciate that, though.
Of course.
I don't like to be like think of myself as a rock star. I think God's definitely blessed if you follow the calling. I'll say that. because I don't know what I'm doing every week. I don't know until that Wednesday when the service starts.
So, figuring things out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's awesome. It's definitely a blessing. So
for sure. So that's really what we wanted to talk about with this particular podcast is that first year in youth ministry. You know, if you're like Beto and you didn't have youth ministry on the, you know, anywhere in your 5-year plan, but God called you, and I mean, you responded so quickly. I mean, like you said, you went to that first church service, you accepted Christ, you got baptized, and started serving pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
Was it youth ministry right away, or so, how did you first get in?
So I first started serving my best friend now, who at the time my wife prayed for me to have a Christian friend, because I never did up until that point. But my best friend Cody, him and his wife moved down here to start a college ministry that our pastor Matt Lowry wanted us to do. And so he just told me, you know, you should really connect with this guy Cody. He's going to come down and start this ministry, and I really appreciate if you and Ashley would, you know, kind of be the first leaders to go with him.
Yeah.
And we met up, and I kind of dug into it at that. If I'm being honest, I didn't really want to. I didn't really have any interest. I was kind of like in the, I just want to go to church phase. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of want to go to church. I want to grow in my walk. I want to grow in scripture. Like, I want to learn more, but I don't feel like I'm a leader. But after it was explained to me, it's not really like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not just about knowing the Bible. It's more so about all the other things too.
Right.
And so that's how I started out serving. And you know, it just kept growing after that. I think I didn't really take it serious till we went on our first missions trip, and it was missions Arlington, I think.
Yeah.
And man, yeah, we did that, and it was just. And I know it's something like to people, they're like, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but to me, it was a huge deal. We did it a whole week, and once I got that taste of serving, I was like, I just want to do this like all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it just grew. And
did you do the whole BBS experience, all that?
So we didn't do the BBS. We actually did like. Doing community outreaches. We did a bunch of labor side of things, and delivering food and all that. You know, one of the coolest things that we did, and really got me, is we went to this apartment complex, and it was like in the rough side of Fort Worth, I want to say. Maybe it was Arlington, I can't remember. But it was bad apartment complexes, and we literally parked our bus, and we got out, and we got jacked in like the first 5 minutes. So like, mm-hmm. Someone got into our van and stole like someone's purse and phone, all kinds of stuff. And we just went through and kept praying, and because to me, I was like, I kind of felt like right at home, because not right at home, because I wasn't in an apartment complex, I wasn't bad, like I wasn't toting guns around and stuff like that, but. I don't know. It just felt normal to me because I've been around that. So I was like, man, this is fun. Like, I get to serve the people who I used to see myself in, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So that's what really connected me. And then that day really got me. And just the fellowship. I never truly experienced fellowship with people that are your peers, if that makes sense. I always did the fellowship with the older crowd. Right. And that was great, but to me, that's more like I'm just sitting there, I'm gaining, like, I'm mentally taking notes, like, wisdom, knowledge, you know, like, I'm picking up on things that they tell me. But this was, like, the first time I got to truly, like, fellowship with people, like, in my age group that were, like, Christians, and it wasn't just me and my wife in this, like, awkward setting with people we didn't know. It was, like, people that we wanted to be with, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. Can't say enough about that missions trip. It's kind of what really started the fire for everything. And, Just a complete side note, I've never even been inside of a youth ministry service.
Wow.
My entire life up until the day I took the job.
That's incredible.
There was like a couple of weeks before when I expressed my interest, and I kind of poured my heart out to our lead pastor, and, you know, they're like, why don't we get you in for a couple of weeks, talk to the kids, you know, like, think of something you want to talk to them about, like a message. So I went there, I think, like one or two different times. But at the time, I was kind of helping Cody out because he was balancing out the college ministry and the youth ministry, right, while we were in that little gap of finding our next youth pastor for the church. And I went in there a couple of times, and I just went in there for the message. I didn't even go in there for worship or nothing. Like, I just went in there, did my message, and I would have walked back out. Yeah. And I didn't really know how anything worked. So, like, when I officially got the job, and the first week I walked in, I was like, I don't know how anything is done. And I was freaking out. I just remember, I was like, dude, I don't know what we're supposed to do. I know I need to do worship. I know, you know, I knew everything, but I didn't know the layout. And they're like, man, just do what you want. Just do what fits you best. So I was like, all right, cool. And man, I just picked up and learned by the time I went. Thankfully, we had awesome leaders intact, volunteers, and they really helped to kind of guided me along. You know, they were kind of my training wheels along with Cody. He was really like the Paul to my I was the Timothy to his Paul.
Yeah.
So that kind of helped me out a lot. It really did. But
that's awesome, man. Yeah. I remember sitting down, maybe it was at the coffee shop, just talking about it after maybe your first or second week, and just to talk what youth ministry looks like, you know, in your perspective and different things like that. So that was your first week. I mean, you got in, and I like to call it the ministry trial by fire, where and churches are so good at this. Like, the moment we find out that somebody's gifted in some way, and are, it's like gifting plus a passion and a willingness to serve, and we like jump on it. I mean, you're probably now in that position where you're like, oh, you like sports? Awesome. And you're willing to serve? Fantastic. All right, you're going to the games with me. Like, it's so fast. Yeah. And people, sometimes it's just as simple as like, man, I know that guy's calling me to something. I don't know what it is. And so we're so quick to, the moment we find out, we're like, boom, let's get you in there. what we don't, and I'm going to say the big C church, what we're not the best at is the follow through. It's like, yay, we got another volunteer. Fantastic. Now figure it out.
Yeah.
So walk us through that first year. What were some things that you saw that maybe surprised you?
Man, that's a great question. I do remember that conversation, by the way, just before. I remember you asked me something about Calvinists. And at the point, I remember I was looking at Cody. I was like, bro, I don't understand that. I was like, I really don't understand what he's talking about. I was like, I just know I'm a Christian, and I'm just trying to, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just trying to spread the gospel. Obviously now I know. Obviously now
I went too deep in the theology.
Yeah, he dug in there. But now I love it. Now I'm all for all of this stuff. But anyway, so my first year, it was an awesome learning experience. And I have to say, because of our staff, because of Matt Lowry, who is our lead pastor for Calvary, he's my leader. Man, everything was just so gracious, and it just was smooth sailing, even when I hit the bumps in the road, because it was just such a great support system. And I really can't thank everybody that was involved from the youth ministry, from the volunteers to the, you know, to the our youth band, to Pastor Matt, and really the students, because the students, you know, that's obviously who we're serving, and they could have easily been like, man, this dude stinks, get him out of here, and or they could have complained on me, or, you know, said a bunch of things. But I'll say the first year that I really learned that the students don't care about what you're – the students care about the relationship with you. They don't care about all the glitz and the glamour. They don't care about all the big things that you can attract and win. And I say that because in the first year I started, I want to say I came on board on October, I think it was like 12th or something, the middle of October.
Yeah, definitely October.
Yeah. And I just remember, I was like, man, I got to get this big event. Because sadly, we lost a lot of students when Eric, the previous youth pastor, left. And it's no disrespect to, I mean, I don't have any hard feelings towards anybody. I get it. But we lost a lot of students. And it was like literally like half of our ministry. And, I just remember like, man, I just want to do something big to get the crowd in, get the students in, you know, I want to attract them all. I want to let them know like, hey, I'm here for a good time. I want, you know, like I'm genuine. I'm not just some guy who's coming in here to like fill a gap. Like I want to be here. So I came up with this thing called Athlete's Day Off, and I'm a sports guy. So naturally I gravitated towards like wanting to attract all the athletes from football, basketball, volleyball, soccer, you know, just every sport, baseball, softball, everything. And I was like, what is something I can do to attract all these? And I was like, I got it. I'm going to have an event, and I'm going to call it Athlete's Day Off. and it's going to be on a Saturday. I'm going to get a bunch of inflatables. I'm going to get a bunch of like just food, giveaways, prizes. I mean, I went all out. I got an iPad and, you know, I got like earbuds, gift cards. Like I had a bunch of pretty big things. I can't remember all of them, but I know we spent quite a bit of money on booking the event itself, from the inflatables to the food, to the gifts and the prizes. And man, I just remember, I asked Matt, you know, hey, like, how much money do I, like, how much can I spend? What do I do? And he said, you know, since you come in, it's at the end of the year, just you do what you want to do, do what you think is going to work. And, you know, I'm just going to let you figure it out. Just do it. Don't worry about the budget. You know? I said, okay. So I got all this stuff, man, and I went all out. Now, I'm telling you, it was a good couple of thousand for sure. I thought it was going to be this big thing, right? Because I was like, I spent the money.
Of course they're going to come, right?
Yeah, they will come. I spent the money. They're going to come. You know, everything's free. High school kids love free things. And I put flyers out. You know, the high school kids I did have, I kind of like brought them in my office, like, individually. And I was like, hey, what do you think about this? And, you know, I couldn't really read high school kids. This is my first time to interact with high school kids since I was in high school. And so they were like, yeah, it's cool. It'll work. You know, and so I took it. I was like, okay, they like it. I didn't think that they were just trying to, like, get out of there. Like, dude, I don't care. So anyways, we get to the day of the event. I tend to make stories long. We get to the days of the event, and we have, like, 10 kids show up. And 8 of them are, like, our actual, like, youth. So the outreach event reached nobody whatsoever. It was just a fun day for, like, the 8 youth kids that went.
Good odds on those gifts, right?
Yeah.
Everybody gets something.
Literally everybody walked away with a giveaway. So they're pretty happy. I did keep the iPad for something different, because I was like, kind of salvage it somehow. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was a huge bust, big bust. And I was just, man, I just remember I felt so discouraged. And I remember telling my wife, I was like, dude, this is like my first event. And I bombed it. And I was like, I tried my best to do what I could to attract these kids. And, you know, I didn't do good. So, like, what am I going to, like, get my, that was about a month in, because it was during Thanksgiving break, or, like, the week after Thanksgiving break. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this job, you know, like, I can't even attract them in with all this stuff. Like, how else am I going to get them in? And I just remember talking to Matt the next week, and he said, you know, I know when something's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, it's not because I'm, like, this amazing guy and I could read minds, or I could read into the future. He's like, I just, you know, when you've been in the ministry long enough, you know what works and you know what doesn't work. And he said, but I thought it was important for you to see for yourself, you know, for you to hit these little learning curves yourself, you know. I want you to be able to grow, and I want you to see, experience it for yourself, because I won't always be able to just, you know, hold your hand through everything and tell you. Exactly. Like, at some point you'll have to be independent. And you know, so I really appreciated him doing that. And it was such a loving manner. And, you know, it has to be a loving manner, because at the end of the day, like, it was a lot financially, probably, for the church. And, you know, and he kind of showed me, like, you know, told me, like, it's not about any of that. It's about, we want you to know that we want you here. And, man, he did such a great job. And, you know, everyone else in all their other ministries, from our children's pastor to our women's pastor, our office administrator, Cody, he was with me every step of the way, and he knew it was going to bomb. Everyone knew it was going to bomb except me. But I really appreciate that they didn't try to get my hopes down. You know, they really wanted to let back off and let me just kind of go through that experience. And it was super encouraging after. And then, I just remember Cody was like, dude, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the junior high every week. And you're going to talk to these kids. You're going to get in with them. You're going to be the familiar face that comes around, and these kids are going to know you. You're going to talk to them. It's going to be awkward, but just trust me. And I promise, he said, your personality is great. It'll get students in. And so I was just like, okay. And so we just started doing that. And man, the first few weeks, it really was like brutally awkward. Like, we would sit down at tables and kids are looking at me like, dude, who is this creeper just standing sitting by me?
Why are you here?
Yeah. And I would have to introduce myself that I was a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was telling the kids, like, you know, we have this thing called the impossible shot. If you make it, you win $100. And that's literally what brought the kids in. Mm-hmm. But they started coming in, and when I got to hang out with them in the youth building, that's when I kind of, it was about the second semester of my first year, I realized, dude, these kids don't, they couldn't care any less about the objects or things that bring them in. They just want the relationship.
That's it.
Because once I got down with them, we had a winter retreat, and I really got to bond with a lot of them, and it was perfect. It was smooth. And that winter retreat really did a lot for the students that went in me, because we got to know each other pretty good. I got in with them. A lot of them started opening up with me, and it built a relationship. And, you know, so we went in the second half, and I had another crazy idea. But Pastor Matt, again, he let me do it. And, you know, it was the same thing. I was like, hey, I know you guys are getting this budget. He said, don't worry about the budget. If you truly believe in this, do it. Pray about it and do it. And so I decided to put together this youth conference, and I wanted to call it a revival youth conference. And man, I prayed on it, did everything. I got like all the people that I felt would be perfect for this, from like breakout session speakers to volunteers to who I got to be the main speaker, and just our entertainment, like our, I guess you'd say our praise team, our worship team. And then yep. I brought in Christian rappers for a rap concert. I'm a big rap guy. Christian rap guy. And so I called in some guys that I was a big fan of. They came in, and man, and we were just pumping this up, and I was pumping this out. I was going to the school, and I was giving the flyers to the kids. I was like, look, I don't even care what you have going on. You don't have to come to Calgary to come to this. This is open to every kid. I don't want you to think that you're going to come to this, and I want you to leave whatever church you are attending to come to this. I just want to provide something to all of our youth to just come to and be able to worship God safely in one place for one night and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just wanted to bring them something because I wanted them to know, again, like, I'm doing this for you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm doing this because I want to serve you guys. You know, God put me here for a reason, so I want to serve y'all. Anyways, we do the event, and, man, I was expecting, because I had PTSD from the Athletes Day Off event.
Yeah.
And so I was expecting, like, man, I was like, this is probably going to be, like, 50 kids, if even that. And, dude, we packed the house. I think there's, like, 250 to, like, 300 kids there. And they're coming from, like, Sweetwater. And I think we had some kids from Sweetwater this first year, and the kids from this little surrounding schools, too. And it was just a phenomenal night. It was great. I mean, there's kids who came to Christ that night, you know, started that relationship. And it was just great. And it was just a reassurance to me, like, it's not about all the fancy giveaways. And it's not even about putting together these events. It's just about showing them that you care. And I think the difference with me from one event to the second event was, instead of like pumping up like, hey, we're getting all this stuff for y'all, I was just kind of talking to them like, look, I'm really trying to do this to show y'all, like, you know, we have people here who are here for you guys.
Right.
And it was all about just showing them that I'm here for you. These adults are here for you. Like, let us do this for you, and let us bring you guys wisdom, knowledge. Let us bring you guys love. Let us show you guys whatever, all the things, right? All the fruits of the Spirit. And I just came from a genuine, and I know looking back on it now, God blessed it, because it was from a genuine place in my heart that I wanted to serve the kids. It wasn't that I was just trying to bring in kids to, like, hey, I'm here, I'm going to be the new youth pastor, and, like, I want to take all y'all and be this big thing.
Right.
And that was the biggest thing I had to learn. And it wasn't that I was in competition, like, with you or anyone else, because I was literally, I think I was blowing you up, like, every week. If it wasn't you, it was Josh Green, who was another youth pastor here in town. But I was blowing you guys up every week, asking for advice or just talking about what's this, what's that. And it wasn't about competition. It was just, I wanted to feel validated in a sense of, I need all these students so people know, okay, he's legit. He's not just some guy who doesn't know what he's doing. His numbers show that. He must have to be something, right? Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't blessed. And that whole first semester was a struggle for me. And then the second semester, I learned from it. You know, it's like you said, it was trial by fire. So I was just every week, I was just kind of learning on the go. And man, I think it was after that conference. I mentioned those two events because I went from one event to the next. And I went from one event to being probably worse off than where the ministry was before in terms of me. And the student connection. And then I went from the second event. After that, man, the ministry just took off. We went from, like, I think we're, I don't know, I can't remember the number. I think it was like 40 kids or something like that, 30 to 40 kids in our ministry. And it was just like every week kids just kept coming in. Every week more kids would come in. And I was still going to the junior high. I was still doing all of that. And I was still talking to them, trying to build relationships. And I just remember we get to like May at our bake auction and we're having to do this, you know, raise money for camp. And there's like just kids lined up. And someone just brought up to me like, that is a lot of kids. And, you know, I don't know what a big ministry is. I don't know what a small ministry is. So I didn't know the numbers. I just know people are like, I got a lot of kids. And, you know, and come to find out when we get to the end of the year, getting ready, gearing up to go to camp, I mean, our attendance more than doubled. We went from like 30 to 40 to we're having like 80, 90 kids show up. And it was just a blessing. And it was such a big deal to me, not because of the numbers again, but it was because I saw like, man, it was like God was just opening all these doors and showing me like all these things. Like it's about how you're going to serve me. It's not how I can serve you. It's about how you're going to serve me to further the kingdom.
I feel like that's what you're hitting on really well there, is like that first semester was almost more about your own social status and validation than it was about actually reaching students for God and for the gospel. Not to say that you weren't doing that, because that, you know, we had several conversations and I know that was always your heart, but it was like, okay, great, I'm doing this thing. How am I supposed to be successful? And, you know, all of us are looking for different metrics on how to be successful in ministry. And it's easier sometimes just to say, as long as we have a bunch of people in seats, then we're doing well, right? What you learned really quickly from event to event was when you put the focus in on just saying, hey, we want to build a relationship with these students with the sole purpose that they know Jesus. They know Jesus and they have a relationship with him, and they're able to use their gifts and their passions to make a difference in their world and their community. And when that little switch, and I say it's a little switch because, I mean, you saw how quickly yes. from one semester to the next semester, you have one event that's a total flop and a lot of money, and you go to the next event and you spend way less. I mean, less than half, easy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like when you take out a lot of the fluff and different things like that, you just ask, what are some things that these students like that aren't flashy? You know, you had worship. It was an all-night event.
Yes. Right?
First one was an all-night event. And you had some rap, you had some worship, and you had some small groups. So it was more like a D-Now weekend in a lot of ways. And then the second one ended up being more of like a half a night event. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the second one was the whole night. The first one was No, you're spot on. And it really took me realizing, and I knew, because I obviously I have a heart to serve God. You know, I was in the wind industry before, and I started a little grow group because I wanted to start serving as much as I could. So I knew my heart for God was there because I wasn't doing anything to glorify myself. I was wanting to do everything because I was seriously like obsessed with just pleasing God and wanting to serve him. And I still am. It's just when I got there, it's just like the pressure just kind of hits and you're like, man, I really don't want to make these people look bad that they hired someone who has no experience, someone who's never even been in ministry, someone, you know. And and it took me back to, like, you know, Jesus, he qualifies the unqualified, or whatever that phrase is, how it goes. And man, and it took for me to get to that second semester to realize, and it was probably sometime during that break, that winter retreat did me a lot of good, because I realized, man, these kids just care about the relationship. I got to talk with, you know, my volunteers who are our leaders on the bus, and it was just, man, it was just a few of us, but they're the core of our leadership. And man, those people were amazing. And just what they talked to me about, like how they opened up to me about certain students and how they opened up to me about themselves. And I really got to pour out my heart. And it was the first time we really, truly got to connect, because you're on a bus ride with like 40 kids and then like it's just like six of you adults up there. So it really helped me out to hear them. And I can't thank them enough, because without my leaders, my first year would have been a disaster. And we cut down quite a bit, so they know who I'm talking about when they hear those few that stuck with me through all the changes. And man, they toughed it out, and I couldn't be any more grateful for them, because I probably wouldn't even have saw that in myself if it wasn't for that second semester, because that whole first semester, I kind of felt like it was just me and, like, man, I had my wife. She was the only person who knew that what I was going through and what I felt. And I just needed God to open my eyes to realize there was more than that. And you know, my wife talked to me and she told me all these things. She grew up Baptist, you know, she grew up in the youth. So she was kind of giving me pointers and tips and telling me all these things. But, you know, it was just honestly, it was the pride in me. And she told me it wasn't about the numbers. And I remember we had that conversation plenty of times, but I just didn't want to listen because to me, I was like, I have to do something to be validated. And, you know, she would be like, you are validated. Like, they hired you for a reason, you know? And yeah, and I was like, man, but that's not what it is to me. I need to show them, like, physically. And
when you hit a couple of things there, and I really want to highlight that for those who are listening, maybe you're in kind of an equal position where you feel a lot of pressure from your church and leadership to have a certain amount of people. I know there are a lot of youth ministries that actually qualify that says, hey, as long as you have this set number of students, you're good. If you get under that, you're in trouble. And, like, I know people who are literally put on probation, you know, and different things like that for not having certain, you know, quota, basically.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, you know, for your wife to have the wisdom to say, they hired you for a reason, trust yourself and trust that God knows what he's doing, and putting you in that position. And I know there are people who listen who are volunteer youth pastors, and which to me are the real MVPs, because you
absolutely
put up with a lot to not get paid a dime. Absolutely. And not that really that many youth pastors make a lot of money anyway, but when you're working a full-time job that maybe you love, maybe you don't love, and then come in and do youth ministry with all that weight and pressure and stuff like that, I mean, if you're feeling that pressure, remember, number one, who you are, number two, whose you are, being God's, and then number three, remember that God called you for a reason, even if it was very much a trial by fire situation like Beto over here and myself. God knows what he's doing, and if you're willing to lean into and to trust what he's calling you to do, and that you're actually following him, he's gonna bless you. You know, he really is, and it's incredible. And then the other thing that you hit on, which I think is something that a lot of youth pastors are experiencing or have experienced, is coming into a youth ministry that was incredibly successful. I remember Eric very well. He's a fellow ginger, beautiful human being.
Great guy.
Very, very
good guy. Good friend, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible thing. Like, I thought about, because I remember having that first conversation, and I remember you saying, looking at me and just saying, dude, I have some massive shoes to fill, and how do I do that? And I was like, and the biggest thing that I think, like, I remember praying going into it, and the biggest thing that God was saying is, don't try to be Eric, be you. And that was the thing that I kept saying over and over and over, because it's just like, you're going to get pressure. You're going to get those parents that says, well, Eric did this. Well, great. Eric's been doing youth ministry for a long time, and he knew what he was doing. But that was his DNA and his personality. And the biggest thing was, like, no matter what anybody tells you, including parents, you can't be Eric. You can only be Beto. And you need to do things the way – that doesn't mean that you can't take some things and learn from Eric. You guys were friends. You got to serve a little bit with him. Not a ton, but a little bit. You've got Cody. You've got – take the students that you have and take the leaders that you have and do what you can with the cards that you're dealt, you know. Don't try to play somebody else's playbook. Don't try to emulate what somebody else is doing. Take some of those things and ask how you can filter it through – your experiences and your abilities.
Absolutely. And I will add, you know, when I got the job, because Eric and I were obviously we were good friends before, even though I wasn't, like, serving in the youth ministry, we're good friends because he was a big sports guy too. And man, he just texted me and, you know, called me too, and just kind of told me, you know, hey, I'm just gonna let you know, like, I'm here for anything that you need. I want you to know that there's things that I did that parents didn't like. There's going to be things that you do that parents aren't going to like. You know, you're going to lose some students. And he said, and it doesn't have anything to do with you. He said, sometimes, like, things just happen. He said, but you have to trust in God. And he said, you know, just get to the support system. And, you know, and I really appreciated it too, because I don't know how it goes with other people, but I But I kind of feel like I've noticed in church, like, people kind of feel like you can't really, so, and I don't know if it's, and I'm not talking about like Calgary, I'm just talking about churches in general. I have noticed that when you go away from someone and you go to someone else, they kind of feel like you can't really associate with who that person was. And it's like, that's not the case. Like, I don't know who is listening, but, like, you know, if you're a youth pastor and you just came and took over for somebody, you know, maybe reach out to that person, you know, ask what went right and what went wrong. And
yeah,
it's something I wish I would have done. I was just so focused on hitting the ground and getting rolling that it's something that I took for granted. And I should have called a couple of times to reach out to Eric and just kind of, hey, what did this work for you? What did this not? Because you're familiar with the area, you know, for you're familiar with the students. And if I could say something to encourage guys to do is to get in contact with that past youth pastor. And I know not everyone is great. You know, some people lose those jobs for a reason or leave those jobs for,
yeah,
and there's a good reason why. But in Eric's situation, yeah, and in Eric's definitely discernment. But in Eric's situation, he just went back home.
Yeah,
and as the youth pastor there,
there was no ill will.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. So it wasn't like I would be getting advice from just the worst person. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he knew what he was doing. He's a great guy, phenomenal dude. I would suggest that. And man, you have to have a good. If there's one other thing I could say about your first year of serving, you have to have a pastor that is fully committed to you and supports you no matter what. And that is just going to give you that room to breathe. And you have to have a great leadership. Like from your volunteers, you have to be willing to trust them and you have to be willing to get real with them, you know, be honest with them. I kind of reserved myself that first semester. And then, like I said, once we got to that break, I started opening up, and thankfully a lot of them knew me, but they just didn't, you know, it helps a lot to show people your heart. You don't have to always keep your guard up. Those would be my suggestions. And just go love those kids. Be goofy with them. Don't be scared to be goofy with kids. Mm. I'm not too, I don't know what, I don't even know how you would describe it, but I don't think too much of myself.
You go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think too much of myself to think that I can't get goofy with the kids or laugh with them, you know, make stupid jokes with them. Like, it's junior high kids, and even the high school kids are goofy too. They don't think they are, but they're goofy too.
They have their cool points.
Yeah, very much so. Man, but you have to trust in God's will, his plan, and his timing. And it's in that order, because, you know, if you're not going to trust in his will, you're never going to have the plans revealed to you. So that's another thing. You have to trust it. You're there for a reason. You have a purpose there. And
yeah,
you just have to hold tight to it, even if it seems like a struggle. Because when you're committed to him fully, it pays off, you know. And I saw it. And it wasn't like I was looking for the numbers again. I don't even measure my attendance numbers. I measure the number of, if there's any number that I pay attention to, it's the number of people that are saved. Because that's what I want to know. I want to know how many people are going to be guaranteed eternal life in heaven.
Yeah,
that, sure. I don't care how many people fill up the room on a Wednesday night or Sunday night. I care about the people that we're going to fill up heaven with, you know?
Let's go.
That's it. So I can tell you those numbers all day, every day, you know, the kids who get saved, because that's what I'm proud of, because I know that's what God wants. He doesn't care how many, if you have 100 students in your class or if you have 10 students in your class, he cares about the students that are truly starting that relationship with him and looking to him as their savior. And man, it's a beautiful thing if you could just let go of the being so worried about numbers and everything, because you get to see what the ministry really is.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, and just a couple of things I wanted to also touch on that I thought were really incredible ideas. So obviously you're a big sports guy. So Beto, you know, comes to the big Eagles Cowboys game. And, you know, of course, around here, a rivalry like that, you have to play that up.
Yes.
And so Beto had made a bet with one of the pastors in town who was coming and doing a little bit with our junior high FCA, which we do every Friday morning together, which I love that we do that together.
Yes. By the way. So how the bet took place, and it was with one of the – he's actually a lead pastor here at one of the churches. He's a great friend. I know he wouldn't mind, but his name's Rick Owens. He's a big Cowboys fan. And so leading up to that game, I felt really confident about the Eagles that year, which me and you were both every week just – dude, did you see this?
Like, yeah, I mean, it was a good time.
Yeah, we were pretty. It was a pretty good year to be an Eagles fan, aside from the last game. But still proud of it. Absolutely proud of it.
Sure, gone for it on fourth and two.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not the 49ers, yeah. Right?
Yeah, by the way, 49ers fans, you lost the game with or without your quarterback. It wasn't even close. That's it.
But, you got to play the game.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's just better.
Going back to to Cowboys week, that's what we call it. It's just Cowboys week. And I went that Wednesday and I made the bets with all the students. They're like, oh, the Cowboys, you know, they're going to whoop the Eagles this week. You know, they're going to stomp on them. And I said, I'm going to make y'all a bet. Every single person in here who thinks the Cowboys are going to win, that's fine. But if the Eagles win, y'all have to take a picture with an Eagles jersey on, or had an Eagles necklace. And they're like, okay, but if the Cowboys win, you have to come next Wednesday for lunch in a Cowboys jersey and FCA in a Cowboys jersey. And I was like, all right, deal. So, you know, we did that. I made the deal with Rick, the pastor from one of these other churches in town, and, you know, thankfully, the Eagles cashed that check that I wrote. And so I got
indominant
to
dominant fashion.
Yes, indominant fashion.
Might I add.
And it'll probably happen again two more times this year. But that's not for the here nor there.
At least two.
Yes.
At least two.
Two for sure. For you. And so we're going to have to call up Jalen Hurts.
All right, Jalen, we made a bet and we need you to cash it.
Thank you,
sir. Just cash our check.
Thank you.
If you're listening, Jalen, thank you for being you.
Good deal. Good deal. Just keep it up. Keep it up. That's all I can say. We're praying for you. But so, yeah, long story short, they had to take pictures. Everyone had to take pictures, including Rick. He had to get up there and speak for FCA in an Eagles jersey. And you better believe I put him in a Brian Dawkins one. I had to put him in the legend.
He's a respectable player. Yeah. I mean, equally respected by everybody.
Exactly. And that's what they didn't get. I'm like, dude, I'm giving y'all a legend to take pictures in. I could have been petty and made them take a picture of my Carson Wentz jersey. Like, that would have been something. But I was a good sport about it, so I let him do that. But anyways, it was a good thing. And, man, that's just to say, let your students in on your likes and interests. Like, yeah. Obviously, you want to be interested in what they're interested in, but like, make that personal connection. Let them know, like, you're not just here to preach the gospel on a Wednesday and teach them on a Sunday, but you're here for that relationship. And, you know, with the relationship comes showing your interest, showing likes, you know, being willing to show that to them and to take in what they do. And, you know, you got to build it with them. That's all there is to it for a successful youth ministry. I 110% believe you have to invest in the students so they'll invest in you. And because if you want them to make that connection with God, it's all about that relationship first. I strongly believe that.
Absolutely. Are there any other things that from year one, looking back, that you're like, man, either you just felt like went really, really well and definitely want to keep that up, or something that you're like, man, I'm glad that I got to experience.
I would definitely say year one, we have a youth band. There's two things. Year one, we have a youth band. I really got to connect. We had, I think, three seniors in that band. Yeah, three seniors. And, man, I really got to connect with them. It was the bass, the electric, and the keys. And I really enjoyed that time with those seniors. I wish we could have had them another year, just because it took us to the end of the year. You know, you get to that last month or two, and then they finally start talking to you. And so I was like, man, if I could have a little more time with them, because they're really cool. But the highlight was definitely our youth band, because those kids, those students are the ones who really kept me going, super encouraging to me. And, you know, I've just hit it off with them from the start. And the relationship I have with each one of those band members now is just phenomenal. And man, I love those. Me and my wife and I both, we love each and every student in that band. We love them like they're our own, you know. And it's just a special relationship. And so that was a highlight, was that band. That band is special to me. They mean the world to me. The second thing would be camp. Man, camp was a blast. Again, I've never served in youth ministry. I've never been to anything in the youth when I was a teen myself. So I didn't know what to expect at camp. Like, I had people ask me a million questions about camp. And I literally had one of my students come up and talk about camp, because I was like, they've gone to this camp for a couple of years now. I was like, I don't know any, I don't even know what it looks like.
There's some wisdom there. Just, just a side note. Sometimes we think we have to know everything and we get up there and we're like, okay, let me pitch this thing. I've never done it before, but let me tell you why you should, you know, do all this stuff. And like, just the wisdom to say, hey, I've never experienced this, so you don't have to take my word. Here's this awesome sponsor. Now get, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
You don't. It's just, and if you do try to act like you know everything, you're probably going to make a fool of yourself at some point.
You'll get exposed.
Yes.
100%.
For sure. Because those kids will keep you humble. They definitely will. But yeah, so I had a student come and talk about camp, but camp was definitely, had to be the biggest highlight for me, because not only was it my first time to experience a camp, but man, I got to see from kids worshiping, you know how it is at camp, kids, you know, the students are crying on night one and night four, they're just ready to be dedicated to the ministry for the rest of their lives, everybody's just best friends, it's a good time. But the highlight for me was actually, and I know people are going to think this sounds crazy, but man, I was up. We had a lot of things going on last summer, so we're pretty short on leaders. We actually had to have most of the staff just fill in those spaces, and I felt bad because I really didn't want to make our worship pastor Steve do anything. Matt is literally our leader. Like, I don't want to have to make him do anything. And then all the women, you know, they just had to go through. I wasn't going to be able to just hang out with the girls from sun to sundown. But with the boys, we were up from – and Jeremy Haynes, I'm going to give him a shout out. Great friend. He's a great leader. Man, me and him were up together at 6 a.m. We'd go to the gym for a little bit. And by 7 a.m., we were ready to get those boys up. And we were hanging out with them, doing all the things until literally it was like midnight. And we'd go to bed. I think Jeremy would go to bed. I don't know. I didn't get to go to bed because I was right next door to like 8 of the boys that decided to stay in one room. So I was getting about a good 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night. Yeah. But all that to say, it was the best experience ever. Just get out of your comfort zone is what I want to tell people. And man, we were playing football, basketball. We were playing nine square. I never even heard of nine square until I went on camp, which is odd. You know, and just doing all the, you know, all the night games that you do after your big session at church camps. And I was in there with them for everything. I was eating the meals with them. I was doing everything. Man, it's probably frowned upon, but like I took like 3 tubs of pre-workout, and I was dry scooping pre-workout in the mornings with my students, with some of my leaders, the staff that was there, like the camp staff that was there.
There you go.
Man, it was
turned into an entire workout
camp. Yes, right? The entire experience was just phenomenal, and it was just such a good time. And man, I would have to say that was the highlight of year one. The group of students that we were really awesome. Like we didn't have any unnecessary drama, you know, or anything crazy happen. Everyone literally was just there.
Was necessary drama?
Yeah. Not really.
No.
for them, there definitely is. But yeah, everything was great. We took a couple of those seniors went. Man, they stepped up in big ways, challenged our younger students, and you know, they didn't have to do that. They were on the way. They didn't even have to go to camp, but they still chose to.
Yeah.
Man, and it was just. The whole experience is just phenomenal. I could do a whole podcast just about how awesome that experience was. And that was probably the biggest highlight, that the Legacy Band and the youth conference, because the youth conference that I put on is now, it's an annual thing. We had our second year of doing it, and it was just even better this year than last year. And
really took off.
Yes.
Just, that's a
time. That was the theme for this. Oh yeah, and David actually had a part in that.
Awesome.
David had our design for us. That was awesome. Quick story. I don't know how much time we have, but relating. I don't know if I told you this story, about my original design. And
no,
Pastor Matt was like, "I let you do a lot of things. You're phenomenal. You're great. I love you to death." But you're not doing that. That's what it is. And what that idea was, is I was like, hey, so I got this cool idea for the theme this year. I had already told him it's takeoff. And I said, I'm going to do a rocket ship. He said, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Great. And I said, but I want to put Jesus on the rocket, taking off with like his hand in his ear. And he was like, yeah, you're not doing that. And I was like, okay.
Jesus was taken off. So like, you were like, just like holding onto the
rock. Like literally like the cowboy, like on the.
Oh my gosh.
I showed him, like, I think I drew it out, like kind of what I wanted. He said, you are not doing that. And I was like, okay, fair enough. You know, so do the rocket for sure.
I don't want to design it, but just to see what it looks like.
Yeah, but he was like, do the rocket for sure. Do not put Jesus on the rocket. And I was like, okay. But that was actually a pretty funny conversation. But that's a little side note for you. You almost had to make me a Jesus on a rocket, which would have been funny.
Yeah.
It would have been unique for sure.
It would be something.
It'd be a lot of things. Yeah, I was gonna say it would be a lot of things, to say the least. But those are my highlights for the first year.
That's cool, man. So what are you looking forward to as you continue to move forward in youth ministry?
Man, I really just want to continue to put on I like doing outreach events, man. That's where my heart is. I like to reach the lost. I like to go out there and get with people who I know don't know God and who I know don't really have an opportunity to have him into their lives. And I just want to continue to show our students that, you know, it's not about us coming in here and having fun on Wednesday nights and just getting able to hang out with our friends. There's more to it than that. Obviously, Jesus is the reason we're here. And, you know, I want to see them all. I'm going to continue to give them the gospel every single week. And first and foremost, I want to see kids get saved. I want to see kids finding their salvation, you know, starting their relationship with God. The second thing I want to do is I want to start bringing them in more. And we got good feedback on that Church and Street series we did, where we kind of just went out all through town to different sections of the town and just invited people out to come to church. We took the church to everybody else, basically. We went outside the four walls, right? And I just wanted to show the students, you know, it's more than a building.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to just keep doing things like that. I love where our momentum is right now. We have students that come from rough places, man. A lot of students in our ministry come from, you know, broken homes, you know, maybe poverty, you know, just a million different things. And sorry, I try not to get emotional talking about it, but they're buying in, and it's just a beautiful thing. And I just want to keep building on that momentum. And man, we just want to keep loving them and showing them that, you know, we're gonna love like God, we're gonna love like Jesus, and we want you to love like Jesus. And we eventually want you to be able to go spread the word, you know, because that's what we're all called to do, right? It's the Great Commission. And I just want to keep doing everything I can to further that. And if it's not about God, I don't want it. And that's what I tell my students all the time. You know, if it's not about God, you shouldn't want it. If it's not going to further your relationship with him or further the kingdom, then just turn away from it. And that's what I'm looking for moving forward. Year two's been pretty great. Also, I'll say it's been better than year one, because I kind of know what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I still kind of hit everybody with an audible every now and then, like right before, like the day of. Probably shouldn't do that, but
I mean,
you know, when you're led, you're led.
Veterans do this.
Yeah, when you're led, you're led. And I'm just grateful for our leaders. People have bought in now, and it's not just the students that have bought in; it's adults that have bought in.
Yeah,
you know, and it's huge. A big difference. And it's not a shot at anybody. You know, you're kind of skeptical about, you know, anyone that comes into your church for the first time. And, you know, obviously I've been a member, but you're always a little bit hesitant of a new person, right? You want to study that person first. You want to make sure that person's good, that you can trust that person, that they're not just going to up and leave for the next thing. And I think our church has seen that, you know, I'm here for the long run. Like, you know, y'all are stuck with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, it goes back to showing your heart. I've shown my heart to the church multiple times, to our congregation, and man, our congregation has really bought in this year, and they're just helping us with doing amazing things for the youth. And I'm just proud of where we're at, honestly. I'm grateful for the grind, that's for sure. And man, just keep pushing. If you think year two is good, I promise you, like, it just keeps getting better. Things are only not enjoyable if you make it that way. It's all about perspective, you know. I'm grateful for every kid that I get. I'm grateful that I get to do this every week, that I get to come do a podcast with one of my closest friends in the ministry. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm grateful for everything. I'm just grateful for what God presents to me. So I love everything I do every single day. I love that I get to wake up and I don't have to go get into a truck and drive somewhere for a job, or I don't have to go to a job that's full of things that I shouldn't be a part of. I love that I get to wake up and I get to praise God in the morning. I get to praise God in my office. I get to praise God, you know, with the people I'm around with. And yeah, so I don't know what I expect. I just expect to keep furthering the kingdom. That's my main goal. And if it's not that, I don't really care to do it.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge, man. Well, man, I really appreciate you having this conversation with us, man. I think it. Maybe if I leave it alone and go back.
It's technically still going. It's just like me.
Yeah. I don't know if it here, it, like it's recording or audio is the only thing. Okay. Man, I just really appreciate you coming in and being a part of this podcast, man. It's been huge getting to hear your heart in all of this. Thank you for your vulnerability and talking about some of the things that didn't go your way, you know, and I think there's just so much to learn in that. And so if you're listening and you're watching this and you're in your first year, whether you're booming and everything is going exactly the way you want it to go, or it's a situation where you're struggling and you're trying to figure out how to be successful. You know, I know there's been a lot of times, I'm nearly 20 years myself, and I know that there's even as of recent, just wishing I could get one win. You know, it's like, man, sometimes things can be a little bit rough, and you know, you're just like, man, I just want overall me to be able to chalk this up as a win and that God is doing big things. And you know, so if you're in that place of discouragement, keep grinding, keep doing what you're doing, because as Beto said, man, there's God called you to this for a reason, and God has put you in this position for a reason. So do all that you can for as many people as you can for as long as you can, because it really is a blessing to be able to do this.
Truly, truly is.
So thank you so much for listening. We would be honored if you would share our podcast with your youth pastor friends on social media, or tag a specific episode that really stood out to you on your favorite platform using @talkstudentmen. Finally, if you would like to be on the show in the future, please reach out to us on social media or send us an email to podcast@studentministryconversations.org. We would love to set up a time for you to join us. It's been so cool to hear from so many different youth pastors all over the nation who are doing different things, whether you're on year two or year 20. God is doing some incredible things, and there's so much creativity and there's so many things that we can learn. We had our 100th episode last week, and it's amazing to think. Yeah, man.
There you go.
I'm super stoked. Obviously, I'm newer to this, and so a lot of that goes, all of it goes to Russell and Brett. I'm the new guy. But it's been really cool to see how many various topics have come out of youth ministry. You know, I remember 20 years ago when we talked about youth ministry being, you know, is it just pizza and video games? Like, there's this many things to talk about in youth ministry. So thank you so much for being willing to join us. And we would love to have you guys on a future episode if you'd like to. So Beto, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next time.